This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Back here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, John Lyons, alongside Dan Ball. We spent the whole first hour talking Josh McDaniels, Terrell Williams, the Patriots. We're going to spend a little more time on that. We will get to the Red Sox. We will get to the Bruins. Justin Turpin's coming in at 4 o'clock. We're going to spend an hour on the Celtics.
Nice.
So don't worry, folks. We've got a full plate today. By the way, Bruins just tied it up 1-1. David Pastrnak goal.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. Wow, they're getting outshot to holy hell, but... This would be a game that you weren't necessarily supposed to win if you can pull this off.
Yeah, how about that Colorado trade? But I know we're going to get the Bruins later, but
yeah.
Like 9 p.m. last night, I'm like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, that was one of the bigger, and a three-team trade, no less.
Taylor Hall going to Carolina.
Yeah.
Good for him. I hope he can go deep in the play. I'm rooting for him. I liked him on the Bruins.
I was
pissed when they traded him away.
He deserves a little bit of stability. He should be somewhere for more than one season.
Talk about a guy that, what if in history,
yep.
If Tyler Seguin had been drafted 1 overall and Taylor Hall had fallen to you at 2, the Bruins might have another Stanley Cup.
Great point.
That's a little sneaky little what if. I've kind of once in a while thought.
Well, because he's more of a Bruin. I think there's a little bit more of a hard-nosed style to him versus Seguin, who was not going to go
in
any corners.
He would have played better in the 2013 Stanley Cup final than Seguin did. So
okay.
I think that's specifically that.
Yeah.
And maybe he would have given you more in the 2014 playoffs. Who knows? I'm just saying. We're going to get to the Bruins later, but that's something to think about.
Yeah.
And I hope he goes deep in the playoffs. But before we go any further, Joe Braverman went home for the day because he works here all the time. So he needs an evening off.
He went to his apartment, which might be in the building.
That's true. Yeah. There's a secret fourth floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
We're joined now, though, behind the glass, Tom Crisafulli. Tom, what's up?
Ooh, how you doing, boy? I don't have any headphones, so I can't hear a word you guys
are
saying.
Okay, that's enough out of Tom for the day. Didn't even bring his headphones. Like what I
Yikes.
That's all right. No,
one of the very few pieces that you need in radio.
Tom, before we go any further, I did want to get your thoughts. We talked about this hour one. Thumbs up, thumbs down on Josh McDaniels.
I'm so mixed, but I feel like I have to go thumbs up because the OC can't get worse, right? It can't get worse.
That's actually not that different from what Dan Ball said there. You have a low bar to clear. I'm two thumbs way, way up like the old Disney cartoon.
Oh.
Two thumbs way,
wow,
way up.
Wow, that's very positive.
Yeah. Okay, so on that track, Dan. So we're at a point now. It's January 25th. It was, 20 days ago the Patriots played their last game and then fired Gerard Mayo that night, something like that. So
right.
January 25th, they have a new head coach, new OC, new DC. They keep Jeremy Springer as special teams coordinator. Another move I like. We won't talk about special teams, though, because I'll get fired if we do, right? No one cares about that.
Well, you already talked O-line and D-line,
yeah,
so you might as well give your... You might as well give your 30-second soliloquy.
No, I think...
They're the number two special teams unit. That's a good keep.
And especially since 2021, your special teams got worse and worse every year.
Right.
It matters. But anyways, you have your special teams coordinator sticking around. You have all this cap space. You have a top four pick. Drake May looks like a franchise quarterback, potentially. I know he's got some turnover issues, got some things to improve. How do you feel about the pay? And I'm not asking for a vibe check. What I'm asking is, do you feel like, okay, they're headed in the right direction now, or are you still sitting there like, hey, this is a team that went 4-13 two years in a row, and I don't feel like, where are you at on your looking forward feeling of the New England Patriots?
So I'm going to compare this because in my mind, this is now the second wave of the rebuild that the Patriots are, the post-Tom Brady rebuild that they're going through.
That's fair.
I know fans, certain fans perceive it as, well, this is like a 6 or 7 year one rebuild that's gone poorly. I don't see it that way. I think you tried to build it up with Mac Jones as your quarterback and Belichick as your coach in rebuild one, and it didn't work. And so then you really took it down to the studs in rebuild two. I think given what you needed to do, which was move on from Brady, reconstruct your roster, and deal with the dead cap money that you had, and try to build a young core and build it up again, I think you're doing a better job in rebuild two than rebuild one. I think you have adults in the room this time around, I guess an adult in Vrabel and another one in McDaniels, that give me more confidence than you did a year ago. So the one word that I use to answer your question is I feel stable. I feel content. My problem is I still don't fully believe that the front office intact, and that includes ownership, is capable of weaponizing the cap space and the draft picks and the assets that you have well enough to build the championship contender. I don't believe it yet, but I think giving some more support so that it's not just Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh making those decisions should help the cause. So I'm stable. I'm content. I'm not happy about it yet, though.
I feel like they're on the right track. But to be clear, Mike Vrabel doesn't play left tackle, right? And Josh McDaniels doesn't play edge, right? So, and Terrell Williams, great D-line coach, doesn't actually play D-line, doesn't play receiver.
Right.
So the roster is the biggest issue. And the roster, by the way, biggest issue 2 years ago, biggest issue last year. And I'm not saying that Jerod Mayo didn't deserve to lose his job and there weren't major problems. There were. But the roster's been the biggest problem
it's
for
awful.
2 years now.
We didn't exercise where they had to protect 10 players in an expansion draft.
Yeah.
Got to three.
Yeah.
It was May, it was Gonzalez, and I think somebody threw in Brendan Schooler just because he was
And I'd add Barmore.
Yeah.
So four. It's not a long list.
It's hard to get to 10.
Keon White.
Yeah.
But again, it's not like, oh my God, these guys are stars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard
to get to 10.
Bryce Barron.
Actually, you guys did that. I'm sorry. It was on a Six Rings postgame show you did that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did more though. So I do feel better about where they're at. But to be clear, like this is a roster thing. And you mentioned the ownership piece, and we're going to get to the Red Sox in a little bit. It's kind of interesting that I feel like the Red Sox ownership is not that invested in winning championships, whereas I feel like the Patriots ownership is. They've just made a lot of wrong decisions lately. So it's kind of different. Like the results have been similar, but it's kind of different where I do feel like the Crafts are more invested in winning than, say, John Henry, but they've just made a lot of bad decisions over the last few years. So, again, I feel better about them. I don't know if I feel better about Elliot Wolf. I don't feel better about Mac Rowe. I mean, how many years of questions can you have about a guy? Like, I don't.
Right.
But I do feel better. And I think Mike Vrabel, we're going to find Mike Vrabel is the lead voice in that personnel department. And I don't know if Mike Vrabel is going to stand there and say, okay, at 38 overall, you have to draft this guy. Or at 4 overall, you have to trade down to 8 and draft Will Campbell. Maybe what I think is going to happen is Vrabel, maybe in early rounds or with big free agents, like he might say, sign T. Higgins or don't sign T. Higgins. Maybe he's like specific with the big ticket items. But I think with the mid-tier and lower-tier items, he's going to go to Elliot Wolf and say, I want edge players that are 6'5", 260, and they have to have this style of play. I want receivers on the outside that are at least 6'2", at least 185, and you find a guy that fits this profile.
Right.
Or I want a middle linebacker that runs this speed, playing speed. Or I want a free safety that has this, X amount of speed on his three-cone drill. Like, whatever.
So then tell me, is it a two-way street? Is Elliot Wolf then going to come back and say, I have X, Y, and Z, and Mike Vrabel's the one that says, this is the guy out of the three that you've presented?
I think it's possible. Yeah,
okay.
I think you could see that. Like, if Elliot Wolf comes to him and just says, in the second round, here are two receiver options, which one do you like?
That's how I
perceive
it.
And Mike Vrabel says, I like Trey Harris out of Ole Miss, and he's one of the two options. Let's draft him.
Yeah.
Okay? Or he says, I like the other guy. Let's draft him. I could see that. But I think it's going to be more of, with the T. Higgins, with the Ronnie Stanleys, with the fourth overall pick, Vrabel saying, hey, I really want this guy, or I don't want this guy. I think with a lot of other stuff, he's going to look at Wolf and say, this is my prototype. These are the traits I want. You find me a guy that fits him. And if there's more than one, I could see Wolf going to him and saying, Mike, I found two or three guys. Is there one you like more?
Yeah.
And going from there. And I think that could work. That could work. I just think with Elliott Wolf, with Matt Groh over the past year, there's a lot to be concerned about. And I wonder if Mike Vrabel came in and said to the Crafts, hey, I'm not going to have the power that Bill Belichick had because no one's going to have that power, but I want a hell of a lot more power than Gerard Mayo had. And I'm going to have more power than Gerard. And I think that's what we're going to find, is I think no one's ever going to have the Bill Belichick power again, but I think Mike Vrabel's going to have a hell of a lot more power than Gerard Mayo had.
I'm still not convinced that Mike Vrabel does not have that level of power. And everybody who reports on this has been very specifically vague in the sense that they won't say, well, yeah, Vrabel's your general manager as well. There's no title. There's no director of football operations, whatever else. Adam Schefter did say Vrabel's the man.
Yes, the man.
He's the guy. He used those very declarative statements that, despite being very impassioned, were also very vague as to what that means. I still do believe that Vrabel is going to be presented with decisions, and he's going to give the thumbs up, thumbs down on anything that involves football operations. I would not be surprised. This is, again, my own personal opinion, and we may agree to disagree on it. I do believe that the Crafts installed him to be a Belichickian type decision maker who can then put together a concept, an idea of what the roster is supposed to be like, how it, you know, how the culture is supposed to feel, how the locker room is supposed to be, where's your depth, where's your strength, where's your weaknesses, everything like that. You put together the vision, you tell Elliott Wolf, these are the characteristics I'm looking for, to your point. But then they come right back to you and go, I have this, 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 and this that I think would be a fit. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up. These are the players, and you go execute these contracts and put them on my team, and then I build my staff out and coach them. I wouldn't be completely surprised because it worked for a quarter century.
Or at least 15, 20 years. What did Bob Kraft say in his press conference the day after he fired Mayo? I put Mayo in a, quote, untenable situation.
Yeah.
Basically said Mayo was in over his head. There wasn't a lot around him. And remember, when Mayo had his first press conferences, how many times we are knocked down silos, collaboration.
Right.
I think they got way too far away from things that helped them win six Super Bowls. And yeah, I know Brady helped them win. I get it. Okay. But I think they got way too far away from all these other things that helped them win. And with the Vrabel hire, and you can put McDaniels in that as well if you want. You kind of get a little bit closer towards doing things that way. I don't think he's going to have the Belichick power. But I do think if it ever came down to it, and Elliott Wolf said, I want player A, and Mike Vrabel said, I don't want player A, I want player B, and they ever went to ownership, I think they're taking Mike Vrabel's side.
Yeah.
I think if it ever, and I don't even know if it would come to that, but I think if it ever did, if they're sitting in the draft room, let's just say it's the third round pick,
right?
Because everybody, yeah, first round pick, we're all on the same page. Second round pick, sure. That third round pick. And Mike Vrabel says, okay, I want this free safety. And Elliott Wolf says, I want this wide receiver. And Bob Kraft or Jonathan Kraft has to adjudicate it. I think you're going to see Mike Vrabel get his way.
So here's what I wonder about that, because I agree with you on that. I do think he has final say, and I think that goes a long way. Where does Ryan Cowden work into all of this?
And you what notice it was the day of the press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is the relationship between Ryan Cowden and Elliott Wolf when it comes to personnel, not even decisions, but when it comes to the information that's then presented to Vrabel and presented to the Crafts? I really wonder about that.
It wouldn't surprise me if 3 or 4 years from now, so Chris Cifoli, you know, save this tape. Unless I'm wrong, then don't save it. But it wouldn't surprise me if 3 or 4 years from now, Elliott Wolf is somewhere else as a president of football operations, and Ryan Cowden is the GM of the Patriots with Mike Vrabel. Like, long term. And who knows? Maybe Elliott Wolf and Mike Vrabel will go to the playoffs together and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if another team calls Elliott Wolf and says, we'll give you a quote-unquote promotion, Ryan Cowden's here, I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially given the fact that there's the relationship beforehand. I think Ryan Cowden helps Mike Vrabel carry out his vision for the Patriots better than Elliott Wolf does, just within the understanding that they worked there before.
Like Mike Vrabel.
Worked together before, I should say.
He's worked to an extent with Josh McDaniels, where he was a player when McDaniels was a coach, so at least they know each other. A lot of other people in this building he hasn't worked with before. Now, he's worked with Terrell Williams, which I think is important. He worked with the new quarterbacks coach with Ashton Grant last year. He's worked with Ryan Cowden before. Like, he hasn't worked with Matt Groh before, to my knowledge, hasn't worked with Elliott Wolf before. I think that if it really comes down to it, who might he lean on? Might be. So that's why, again, I don't think it's going to be a blow up in April. I think it's going to be 3 years from now, 2 years from now even. Elliott Wolf is the president of football operations for some other team, and Ryan Cowden is your GM or executive vice president player personnel with Mike Vrabel.
Right, and I mean the best way for that to happen would be, oh, well, the Patriots are successful. They now, on the other side of this rebuild, they're coming out of that. Everybody's had a hand in the cookie jar. Vrabel was a part of it. Cowden was a part of it. Wolf was a part of it. Oh, now Elliott Wolf is starting to get these job offers, and we still have Ryan Cowden in-house. So the best way possible would be that he leaves in a couple of years, but it's because everybody together was able to build that. It's definitely pie in the sky, you know, super positive to believe that that's going to happen, but there is a chance it could, certainly a chance.
We just spent an hour and 15 minutes talking Patriots coaching staff and front office, Dan. I loved it.
Well, the Sox suck.
Yeah.
The Bruins are disappointing.
We do have some other stuff to get to. There was a report today or over the last couple days about the Red Sox and their unwillingness to go more than 4 years for Alex Bregman.
God.
Mookie Betts had some quotes in a recent podcast. I don't even know if I want to go there, Dan. But we're going to get into some Red Sox this next segment. Feel free to join us on anything Red Sox, Patriots, or really anything at all. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all that and more right after we trend with Tom Crisafulli.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball.
Hey.
And we've spent a lot of time talking Patriots. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app is free. Apple Podcasts, WEEI website, wherever you get your audio, you can find it. And we'll get to some more Patriots later on. We still have Justin Turpin coming in at 4 o'clock to talk Celtics. But right now, we want to get into the Boston Red Sox reports recently over the last couple days that the Houston Astros have re-engaged, if you will, with Alex Bregman. The Red Sox offer won't go beyond 4 years. And I kind of alluded to this in the last segment, Dan, that Patriots ownership, it seems like they really want to win and they just keep screwing up the decisions, whether it was, you know, allowing Belichick to have Patricia and Judge's OC, the Mayo thing, being so into Mac Jones. You know, you pick your own, you pick whatever decision you like the least. With the Red Sox, if Bregman signs somewhere else, you kind of wonder, is the motivation to win really there for the ownership group? I mean, it's they came into this offseason not just saying, hey, we're going to spend more, but remember all those reports of they were telling agents, hey, they're really going to spend more. It's going to be big. They make the Crochet deal, which, hand up, I still love.
Sure.
He's going to be great. But, I mean, what's the biggest contract? Is it Aroldis Chapman for $10 million a year? Is that the biggest? Oh, Bueller. What was Bueller? 18, off the top of my head. I know I should know this. But, I mean, we're talking, what, less than $80 million total spent in free agency? Maybe less than 60?
So it was $21 million.
For Bueller.
Over 1 year, though.
Right.
And to answer your first question about does that prove ownership doesn't want it, we've long since known that answer. It's not at this point about winning or doing what it takes to win. I should say that. I don't think it's about doing what it takes to win anymore. It's about doing enough to compete, and then maybe you fall ass backwards into winning. And that's kind of the perceived line
I see. Remember that John Henry interview from a couple of years ago? I think it was in the Financial Times where he was like, well, you might only win a World Series once every 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And technically, he's not wrong,
sure.
But it's just this offseason was supposed to be different, Dan. And we're 2.5 weeks away from the first pitchers and catchers workout on February 12th. So it's right around the corner. And you look at some of the names and where they've got, whether it's Blake Snell going to the Dodgers, Corbin Burns going to Arizona. I know there are some family considerations there. Max Fried going to the Yankees. Even earlier this week, Jerickson Profar, who was a switch-hitting all-star for the Padres, going to the Braves. And all, I mean, you lose Tyler O'Neill. You haven't replaced him in your lineup. You've added two pitchers, but it still feels like you're a bullpen arm short. And Tanner Scott goes to the Dodgers, even though everyone goes to the Dodgers.
Sure.
It's just this offseason was supposed to be different. And outside of that Garrett Crochet deal, it hasn't been any different.
And John, I hate to burst the Crochet bubble because I also love the deal. It's you go back to the Chicago White Sox well for top of the rotation left-handed pitching. Fantastic. Big fan of the player. Think he can be a fan favorite and hopefully a Red Sox for years and years to come. He's not signed to anything yet. He's still in his rookie deal, and I don't know about you, I have not heard word one on extension conversations for this player yet.
It felt like right when they traded for him, there was chatter that they were going to extend him in some way, shape, or form.
But that was just boilerplate. But, yeah. You have to, right? That's kind of more
and
how
I get it. Maybe that'll happen in spring training. But, I mean, we're at a point in this offseason. Like, even Roki Sasaki wouldn't take a meeting with them. Anthony Santander signs with the Blue Jays. And you can take your pick. I mean, you could call in and say, well, I don't like Fried. I like Burt. Like, you got to like one of these guys. You know what I mean? Like, all these guys. And it's the same. I feel like I'm having the same conversation with you.
Yeah.
That KJ and I and other people had last year when it was Burns available, Dylan Cease available, right? Other guys that they didn't get any of those guys. Seth Lugo, that none of the Yamamoto, Imanaga, none of those guys last year they signed. And now we're looking at this year and it's like, okay, they got one. They got Crochet. I mean, this is a team, to me, that if you add, whether it's Bregman, a high-impact bat, you could go at least to the ALDS, maybe the ALCS. I mean, look at the AL. If you made a list of the top five teams in the MLB, I think four of them are in the NL.
Yeah, and the one, I guess you have to pencil in the Yankees because they got there last year and they signed Fried, but...
They lose Soto.
You lost Soto, and I don't think they made him up in the aggregate with the players.
I like the Bellinger move for the Yankees.
That's fine.
I like Devin Williams. I like Max Fried. So I would put the Yankees above the Red Sox, but I look around and I'm like, it's kind of there for the taking.
Yeah.
But it feels like, I don't know. Let's go to the phones here because Bruce... Let's get Bruce in here. Bruce in Massachusetts. Not a Bregman guy. Bruce, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Yes. The whole Bregman thing, why are we looking at Bregman? We need a right-handed bat to hit left-handed pitching, correct?
Yeah,
that would help.
If you look in, I did a deep dive in Bregman's stats on Baseball Reference. The last 3 years against left-handed pitching, 22, 23, and 24, Bregman's average against left-handers is 220, 215, and 224. That's not the answer. Arenado's not much better.
Right.
The one guy that really hit left-handed pitching that was talked about for the Sox was Teoscar Hernandez, but that's too late for that.
Bruce, appreciate the call and the research. Yeah, I would have loved Teoscar Hernandez. My thing the Bregman thing is there's two, and he's right, you got to be able to hit left, I get it, but you could put Bregman in immediately to play second base, and it would be an upgrade over what you've had at second base the last couple of years, which, by the way, if you've watched their infield defense, it does matter.
Yeah.
I think Bregman would give you more production on the whole than Tyler O'Neill. He hits for a little bit of higher average. The home run numbers are similar. His average is a little bit higher. But I think another piece of the Bregman thing, and this is maybe tougher to quantify, Dan, and it's also a reason why I like the Walker Buehler signing. Who in their lineup has won a World Series? It's Rafael Devers, and that's it.
And so, who's played a playoff game?
Yes.
I think there's four players on their roster right now who have played in the playoffs,
It sounds right. But they need guys that are good players who also have produced and been part of teams that have gone deep in October. Like, they just don't have that. And I know some, like, I think it was... I don't know if it was Jones and Keefe or it was your afternoon show, talked about the idea of having the adult there in the room. Like, it matters. Like, look at your lineup right now. I mean, Devers, love you, mean it, but I don't think he's meant to be a captain of a team or a captain. I think he's at his best when he's the number two or three guy, at least as a role. I mean, you look at when they were good with Devers, you had Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, and then even after Mookie left, you went to that ALCS. You still had J.D. Martinez, right? You still had Xander Bogaerts. You still had some of those pieces. So I look at Devers best as a second or third guy, like leadership in your lineup-wise. And Duran, all-star game MVP, but young player. There's been some volatility there as well. Willier Abreu, rookie. Casas, young player. Like, these aren't guys. Even Connor Wong has been pretty good for you at catcher. But
right, right.
Not a leader. And it's not even like a knock against. Like they're younger players. Yeah. I don't expect them to be leaders, whereas Bregman walks in, and all of a sudden, maybe he's the second-best hitter in your lineup, or the third-best hitter in your lineup behind Duran and behind Devers. Sure. Or fourth, maybe behind Casas. But he's the leader of your lineup. Much like Walker Buehler is not going to be your best starting pitcher. That's going to be Crochet, then Hauk, then maybe even Bejo. But he's going to be he's the guy that's pitched in October. He's won multiple World Series. That is an extremely valuable thing to have with a young lineup. So I want Bregman because I think his production in the aggregate will replace Tyler O'Neill, and it'll help you in your lineup itself. But the other factor of this is a huge hole the Red Sox have. Is who's going to be the leader of that lineup in the clubhouse.
Right. Who is your leaned-on right-handed bat, which is true. And by the way, and I appreciate the information on splits, and Bregman is a reverse splits guy. So if you were bringing in somebody just to be the right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching, Teoscar Hernandez would have been great. You probably should have done that a year ago because he was begging and pleading to come to the Red Sox last year.
First of all, should have done it last year, but this year, he would have fit that profile too. He just won a World Series.
Yep. So, left fielder, left or right-handed hitter can just abuse the monster for years to come. Whatever. Randall Grichuk is another guy. He's an outfielder who would fit that profile. He hits great against left-handers. So if you're just looking for a platoon for Yoshida, yes, you can do that. Bregman, you're playing 155 games plus. one of the best characteristics about an Alex Bregman is that he's out there every single day. And if you're signing him, let's just meet in the middle on this. Sox don't want to go past 4 years, John. Bregman wants six. Let's meet in the middle and say you sign him to a five-year deal or four with an option, even if you want to make it more palatable and you bump up the AAV. That also signifies to the rest of the league, hey, the Red Sox, after about 5 years worth of not handing out contracts more than 2 years, are finally committing to players again. That's a little smoke signal that goes up to the league that, hey, the Red Sox are actually a destination that we should consider as free agents. Because right now, I see Boston as, you know how they're considered the interest kings, right? They're mentioned in every single rumor
certainly are.
For every single big player. They're not actually interested, at least from my perspective. They're a pawn. They are a team that Scott Boras and other agents, and just to quickly button that.
Yeah, sorry.
Other agents are using to try to bump up interest, bump up money. You can feed it to the reporters. Oh, look, well, the Red Sox, that's a big market team. They're interested right now. That certainly means that we need to bump up our offer. I don't see them as actually being interested. I see them as pawns in a lot of these bigger situations.
Well, and did you see the Jeff Passan article? I think it was from Wednesday or Thursday, where he was like, the Red Sox and the Cubs should be powerhouses.
Yeah.
But players see that reputation and take notice.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. And I mentioned the fielding thing with Bregman. I mean, last year, the Red Sox, 29th in errors, 29th in fielding percentage. They had five guys with at least seven errors.
Yeah.
It's awful in the field. Like, he comes, and I'm not
and
sitting
here.
And
they had here. A Gold Glover in right field, John.
Yes.
That's infield.
I know. I'm not sitting here telling you Bregman's going to walk in and be a platinum glove guy. It's like, he's going to be better than what you've had.
Yeah.
And that, Matt, like, and I know, again, kind of to our earlier discussion, I know it's a low bar.
Yeah.
But if you have much better fielding at second base than what you have, and you get more consistent play at shortstop, because, I mean, how many different shortstops have they played in the last 5 years?
Oh, God.
Let's say Story's healthy to play defense there, or if he's not, let's say it's Rafaela. I don't know. But if you just get more consistent play up the middle, like, that cost them games the last 2 years.
No question.
Like, it's not hyperbole to say. Their infield defense 2 years ago and last year cost them games. It also helped wear down some of their pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a pitcher and the infield defense up the middle makes two errors in the first three innings, and all of a sudden you have to throw 15 more pitches, now you're getting pulled in the fifth instead of the sixth.
Right. Then you go to the bullpen, and then you can blow it there because your bullpen's taxed, and it's directly and indirectly.
Yeah.
Bruins won, by the way. That's a hell of a win for them on a Saturday.
Wow. We're actually going to get to that next segment, 3-1 over Colorado. That is, especially Colorado coming off that huge trade.
Yep.
Wow, we are going to get to that. But
sorry to play the ADHD game on you, but I just noticed that they were
Castellanos
celebrating.
Castellanos with a deep drive to left, right?
yeah,
Castellanos moment. That's okay. But let's finish up this Red Sox discussion where, again, I'm not sitting here telling you Bregman is going to walk in and be J.D. Martinez in 2018, but he's so valuable to have when you look at what this lineup needs, a good right-handed hitter, who, again, to the caller's point, is not going to be a lead against lefties, but in the aggregate will give you similar to better production than Tyler O'Neill.
Right.
And you need a guy in this lineup that's been to and won a World Series. Like, it's you don't have that, and I know Devers is that guy, but Devers is never going to be that guy that steps up and is the Xander Bogaerts leader or that front-facing leader. Bregman can be that guy, at the very least, until Duran or Cassis or whoever ascends and becomes more of a veteran and takes that role, but that might be 2 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, Bregman's going to fill that void, and that's going to matter if you're going to get back. I mean, we're talking about a team that finished in last place 2 years in a row, had a quote-unquote much better year last year, and still went 81-81. So, I mean, are you telling me you're waiting for Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, and Roman Anthony to come up, and those guys are going to fill your holes? Like, those guys are still going to be 24.
Yeah.
Like,
well, right now, today, that's exactly what we're being told.
Well, and right. And I think that's, like, I think you did the right thing in the rotation with Buehler and with Crochet. I like it. But it's like you've done half the job. And it's just frustrating to me, Dan, because all the whispers we heard, everything we heard, is finally, for the first time since Dombrowski got fired, this offseason was finally going to be different. And it really hasn't been that different.
No, as soon as, to me at least, as soon as you extended Alex Cora to a 3-year contract and confirmed that he was going to be here
during the season, by the way,
that suggested to me that your vision was changing this offseason, and he was on board with that, because he could have gone anywhere. I think any team in baseball, as we saw last year with Chicago firing David Ross to hire Craig Counsell, I think there's any other team in baseball other than maybe the Dodgers, even though I thought he was going to go there.
I thought if they hadn't won the World Series, he would have gone there.
Any team in baseball would have fired their current manager to bring in Alex Cora, and you signed him before he got to free agency and had the chance to do that. That had me hoodwinked at the time because I believe that was a signal of saying, hey, we've removed ourselves from the Dombrowski era. Chaim Bloom was our sacrificial lamb that we brought in to draft well and restock our coffers. We now have money and we have prospects. This is the year we go for it. I believed it. And at the time when the season ended, the same belief that I had was, well, Bregman isn't the guy. He's old. You're signing Trevor Story 2.0. He's going to break down. He's going to depreciate. He's going to get hurt. You've attached yourself to another albatross. Unfortunately, we are now a week and a half from truck day and whatever our number was, 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
Two and a half, I think. Yeah.
And you've done nothing of significance. So now, all of a sudden, it's late. It's 2 a.m. The lights are coming on in the bar, and you need a dance partner. And Alex Bregman is the one that's available to you. So I've had to retroactively convince myself that this player who I did not really want because I didn't think would be a smart investment is the right answer to what the Red Sox can do this offseason. And I hate that, John. I hate it.
Yeah, and it's just, again, it's 2 years in a row. And it's not the only 2 years. I know it's happened quite a bit over the last 5 years, but 2 years in a row when you had a bunch of elite level or really good talent available, because it doesn't happen every year.
No.
You had a lot. And in 2 years combined, the Red Sox have brought in one guy that fits that description. It's Crochet.
Right.
And I'm not pitching and hitters combined. You've had a ton of higher end talent available the last 2 years. And what were you, $100 million off on your Soto bid? Maybe more?
Yeah. You didn't even get the courtesy call to say that you were
out
of the running.
You didn't talk to Ohtani.
Nope.
I mean, you didn't trade for Kyle Tucker or Bellinger. And I'm not saying those guys are elite, but it's like you had all these guys available. And in 2 years combined, we're looking at just Crochet. And I like Crochet. But it's just frustrating because, as I said, this year was supposed to be a little different. It felt a little different. And you look at the AL. Outside of the Yankees, I mean, the Orioles, until they lot to like about the Orioles.
Sure.
But until they prove they can get over the hump, and now they don't have Corbin Burns anymore.
Oh, they're worse this year, for
like,
sure.
The Blue Jays, that they're not going to be good. And I know they just signed Santander, but I don't think they're going to be that good.
Right.
The Rays, I don't think they have a good rotation. I don't think they're going to be that good. And just go around. I mean, the Rangers have a lot of questions about them, even though they won the World Series a couple of years ago. The Astros will be good, but
they lost Bregman and traded Kyle Tucker.
And the Guardians, I feel like there's a ceiling there no matter what. Even though they have, I think, like the fourth richest owner in the MLB, there's still a ceiling there.
No
for some
kidding.
Reason.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's some. I looked it up like a while back. He's got some businesses. He's like actually like the fourth richest owner in the MLB. They just don't spend.
Not the
like
team
the
I would have guessed.
The Royals will be good. Bobby Witt Jr. is a star, but you can be better than all of those teams I just mentioned, except maybe the Yankees. You can go into the season being better than, and they're not going to.
Or at least having a higher ceiling than, depending on what you get for 30 starts from Houck and Crochet. These guys that kind of tired themselves out in August and September, a second year with all these guys, you should be able to have a higher ceiling than you did last year. And then you add that one little piece in the middle of it, and all of a sudden, you're talking about the number two seed in the American League as a somewhat realistic possibility. Yeah. You'll be a wild card, but you should be a good team. It's right, John. It's right there. Yeah. It's right there. It's not. You can still stay under the luxury tax and be able to do this.
And I think what you're seeing, and I started to feel this the last couple of years with a lot of fans, especially if they don't end up getting Bregman, which doesn't look like they will.
Right.
A lot of apathy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not...
Look at the most recent text we got from the 508. The Red Sox have to give us something to care about. They haven't spent jack this year.
Like,
it's not even being mad. It's just not caring.
And I'm
not
one
going.
Of those people that says, oh, you have to do something just to do it. It's just look at the evidence of the last 2 years. All the great players available. And in total, you brought in one of them.
Right.
Like, that's it. So it just feels like there's going to be some apathy there. And just look around the town. Celtics are the defending champions, could very well win the championship again. Patriots have a lot of buzz around them. Bruins, not so much. We're going to get into their big win coming up next. Red Sox, not a lot of like we call them the interest kings, but it doesn't feel like there's so much interest around them in the fan base.
How about excitement Are you more excited for the 2025 Red Sox season or the 2025 Patriots season as currently constructed?
I would say right now, the Patriots season. And it should be the Red Sox, because the Red Sox should be further ahead in their development than the Patriots.
Right.
And they were better last year. The Red Sox have been better record-wise for like 3 years than the Patriots.
Oh, no question.
But I still feel like the Patriots have more going for them right now.
There's at least more
January
reason 25th. To be excited.
Yes.
Yeah, there's,
I will.
Absolutely.
Even though the Red Sox might be better.
Yeah.
It's just tough.
They are what they thought we were.
Yeah. And they will. The Red Sox, I do think they'll be a playoff team. So I'm not just trying to bitch for 20 minutes here, but it's just frustrating when you see they could be a legit ALCS contender.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they want to go to that length.
Yes, completely agree.
So Bruins with a big win against the Avalanche. They are now, from what I can read here, 5-1-1 since Rich Keefe said the Marchand and the Pasta don't like each other.
Interesting.
But big win against Colorado, a new look Colorado today. We're going to get into all that and more right after this on WEEI. Back here on WEEI. Bruins win 3-1 over the Avalanche today.
Big one.
It's, I don't know. Like, all right, you know what? Dan Ball, I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball.
Hey.
We're going to have Justin Turpin join us next segment. Dan, I'm just going to, the Bruins.
Yeah.
Big Bruins. I know you're a big Bruins guy.
Huge fan.
They have that really bad loss in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Follow it up with a good win against the Senators. Now they got outshot, but another good win against the Avalanche. Is this a slimmer of hope? Is this fool's gold?
I'm still on team fool's gold. Personally, they're five games over 500, 25-20-6. You're doing well at home overall. I still have to measure everything that happens this season up with, is this team a championship contender as currently constructed, and are you a trade away from being a championship contender as currently constructed? And I just don't think that they are. Now, you're getting Hampus Lindholm back. Eventually, you're getting Charlie McAvoy back. They played quite the defensive core, but you got almost 23 minutes out of Andrew Peak, who has been outstanding in place of McAvoy since he got hurt and got put on IR. So you're getting good enough play and getting some meaningful enough wins to where you could justify, let's go to Vancouver, call them about Elias Pettersson or JT Miller, and make the kind of move that would signify, hey, we're going for it this year, which is what Charlie Jacobs said earlier this week. We only play for cups. We plan on being aggressive was kind of
the
message.
They've won one cup in the last 50 years, but
I know.
We only play for cups.
But Cam Neely saying that there's a chance that we retool is not said by mistake. So,
no, not an accident. I agree.
So I still believe that despite the fact that I want them to win every single game that they play, I don't love the way that this group is constructed. You're old in certain places, but you're too young in other places. I still think this is not a team that's worth investing in, but beating Colorado is no small feat, especially to your point after the kind of trade that they just made. You got them on a good day where Marty Natchez just got there. I don't even think, or Taylor Hall went to Carolina. So Natchez was really the big player that you brought in. Jack Drury played as well. They both came from Carolina. So a little bit unsettled in Colorado right now. You got them at a good time. But I don't know, man. I don't know how you see them, but I just... They're good. They're a good team. They're going to fight for a wild card spot. I don't think this is a cup contending group.
Yeah, I mean, and shout out to Morgan Geeky, by the way. Two goals today, three games in a row with at least one goal, goals in four out of his last five games.
Yeah.
As well, it's just, like, here's the issue. Because you look at that, you mentioned they got Colorado in a good spot. I mean, they got New Jersey in a good spot Wednesday night. And they still got their butts kicked.
Sure.
Like that was it the 3 or 4 minute span in the second period where they could not get the puck out of their own zone? And then not only do they not give up a goal then, but then they give up two later in the period.
Right, right.
Of course.
Right.
But I was like, man, this looks like the team in red is on a different level than the team in white. Like that, and that's what worries me, because coming into the season, I thought it is, all right, you push Florida to six games. You had trouble scoring in that series. Who knows? Maybe you would have won that series if you had better goal scoring. You sign Zadorov, you sign Elias Lindholm. I was sitting here thinking, man, if things break right, they could go to the conference final. And now I'm like, all right, are they going to get in the playoffs? Like, you know, and
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's been the issue. And look, you've already fired your coach. So that only gave what they have that 2 week boost, and then they came back down to earth. So it's just, it's tough because I just, you beat Ottawa, which is a good win. I'm not taking that away. You beat Colorado. That's a good win. But on the other side of it, you have that game against New Jersey, a New Jersey team that had lost four in a row, and you look totally outclassed, especially from, I mean, really the entirety of the last two periods, you look totally outclassed. And I just think, are you going to get into the playoffs and get a team like New Jersey in the first round or Florida again in the first round, and you're going to look totally outclassed? And of course, you finally beat Florida last week for, you know, for the first time in forever, that overtime win. But are you going to get one of those teams in the first round? Because something is not just, it doesn't feel fully right. Like that trade that Colorado made,
yeah.
I don't think I'd really want the Bruins to go for it like that. Like the way they went for it 2 years ago in 2023, when you had Bergeron and Krejci and obviously Ullmark, the Vezina level guy, I don't really want them to go for it. Like, and maybe I'll be proven wrong between now and the deadline, but it's like, how many times as well can you lose a game 5-1 or 7-2 or just get smoked and not be like, that's who you are?
Right. Right. I mean, you are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the sense that you're 5-2 in your last seven and you have points in 6 of 7. But before that, you lost 6 straight. So,
and you didn't look good.
Right.
And obviously, duh, you lost 6 straight. But you had several of those games, like Edmonton 4-0 bullied you around. Toronto hung 6 goals on you.
Yeah.
6-1.
You scored 0 or 1 goals in 4 of those 6 losses.
Yeah.
That's like, not losing. That's getting pounded.
And don't forget the Columbus game before that streak where you lost 6-2.
Right.
Like, that's, I don't know. Like, and I love the Bruins. I would want to sit here and be like, hey, go all in for it. Like, at what point are you going to keep going in for it and keep coming up short before you're like, man, I might want to look around and make some changes? Now, the other side of the coin is, can you really be a seller? I don't know. Like, I mean, Taylor Hall got a 3rd-round pick. You have some assets that are more attractive than Hall, but do you have, is Brad Marchand going to get you a 1st-round pick?
Right.
If he can, great, but I don't know.
He's a good enough player with a championship level pedigree that he should. Especially if you think there's a chance you're gonna re-sign him. I mean, that's
And if you think you can win the cup, fine. I look at this Bruins team and they win 2 in a row and they're 2 good wins. I just worry a little bit, like, is this the banana in the tailpipe trick? Where it's like I'm gonna fall for it, you know, and it's gonna be like, oh, okay, like we're going to get to May, and they're not going to be in it.
Well, the other question becomes, do I trust Jeremy Swayman to win me a playoff series right now? And I don't know if the answer is yes.
Corposalo's been the better goalie.
That's true.
Which is a weird thing to say.
It's weird and very, very, very concerning. But he was good today. He's been better. I know that the whole he missed training camp, contract, blah, 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 whatever. He hasn't been as good as he should have been coming off of that.
No.
Expected rut
kind of
when you don't get when you don't get training camp. He's been average. Wasn't paid as average, but he has been average in his first year being a full-time starter and not having Ullmark to lean on. So I don't know. It's I completely agree with your point of something's off. Something's just not quite clicking with this group. And you're in a position where you have veteran short-term contracts that you can trade off, recoup some draft assets, and finally build up the young core that you really haven't been able to build up since you drafted Pastrnak and McAvoy almost a decade ago at this point. Do I want Don Sweeney to run the draft when you have those? No, I don't want that either. So what the hell do you do at that point?
Bruins win 3-1, and of course Lions and Ball are talking about being sellers at the trade deadline. That's why people hate Boston Sports Radio. That's enough Bruins talk for now.
Let's go
I'm
positive.
Really excited, though, because the next hour, we're going to be joined, coming up, by Justin Turpin in studio to talk about not just the Celtics game against the Mavericks today, why they are 12-10 in their last 22 games, what they can do to fix it, should we even be concerned, all that and more Celtics talk with Justin Turpin coming up next here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.